So it doesn't matter how many preservatives, how wonderful the food is that we take in, how much exercise we give our bodies. In the end, it spoils. We need more than ordinary blessing. We need more than ordinary food. That's what Jesus directs his disciples to see. All the other things that we chase after, the things that we crave, are nothing without him and what he gives us as a gift.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with rock solid hope in Rim Country, August 5th, 2018. This message is based on John 6, 25-34.
My family went to a church several years ago when my daughter was about 2 years old. And this church, this particular day, had something special that they were serving after the service. And so we were pretty excited as we all channeled into the fellowship hall and enjoyed a nice, tasty, cool ice cream treat. You can imagine my daughter was quite surprised. It was the first time a church had ever given her ice cream. And as it turns out, a couple of weeks later, we visited this church for a second time. So as the service began, we heard this little voice, "Cream? Cream?" How do you explain to a two-year-old that we didn't come back for the ice cream? See, that this happens to Jesus a lot. People come looking for something, but it's not always the right thing. That's what we saw when the crowd in John 6 came to Jesus, searching after him, but they were looking really for the wrong thing. So this morning, Jesus directs us to see just what his disciples should be looking for. And it's something which is unlike any other thing which we might crave. Jesus had a crowd now that had been following him around quite a bit. This large crowd, if you recall, had so crowded around his disciples that they needed to go to a solitary place, but the crowd followed them. And recall how Jesus, as we read, fed that crowd, probably about 10,000 in number if you count the women and children, and he gave them bread and fish and satisfied them. But once again, Jesus needed to get away from the crowd, and he withdrew from the crowd into the mountainside. His disciples took off across the sea on the boats. Now you can imagine that crowd, which was like this fan club that just couldn't get enough of Jesus, was wondering where Jesus was the next morning. And so some of them hopped into some boats and headed to the place where they thought they were most likely to find Jesus, a place where he did a lot of his miracles and teaching, Capernaum. Now when they arrived in Capernaum, that's where we picked up our reading, they found him and were quite surprised to see him there. Jesus, of course, had walked on the water overnight to meet his disciples and to get ahead. But Jesus wasn't so excited that they were so enthusiastic about finding him, and he wasn't about to divulge his latest miraculous feat. No, Jesus needed to redirect some misguided priorities. So he says to the crowd, "I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." In other words, the crowd, they had seen the miracle, they knew Jesus had done something amazing, but they failed to see any significance beyond the fact that it filled their bellies, and they wanted more of that. They were really not behaving much differently than what cattle does when the cattle knows the food is being served, or what fish do when they see the hand at the top of the tank that feeds them. "Can we have more of this food, Jesus?" So Jesus has to tell them, "Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." A lot of people throughout time have looked for the wrong things from God, right? Recall what we read about the ancient Israelites just earlier, how when they received bread from heaven and food from heaven from God, what was their response? God had given that food so they could marvel and say, "The Lord is God and he's gracious and glorious." But their response was, "Can I have more of this? More food, Lord?" As some of them hoarded it up against his will. They were concerned about ordinary earthly blessings And we're short-sighted to fail to see anything more. Still today, people look for the wrong things from God. It was a couple years ago, I was teaching a Bible class in the city of Milwaukee. And during the Bible class, someone interrupted and came in, and I listened as he gave his plea for bus money, which wasn't too surprising because this was the place where the congregation also operated its food pantry and service to the community. But one of the elders immediately recognized this plea for bus money as a plea for quick cash, offered to give him a ride home or a ride wherever he wanted to go in his car instead of paying cash for a bus ticket. And when the man heard this, he had no further use and decided not to stay. He had no more use for Jesus, sadly. And what about us? Jesus says, don't work for food that spoils. Don't put the top of your menu as things that are ordinary blessings, but rather the things that endure. What about when we gather together? Are we always putting the top of the menu, the bread of life, or is it sometimes other things that we're concerned about and become high in our list? When we gather for worship as God's people, we have the need for friendship, right? The need for comfort and a nice environment. Or maybe the demand for entertaining sermons, or to have proper fitting, whatever it might be. And we're so concerned about the way that the butter is spread, and the way the plate is laid out before us, that we're not concerned about if the bread of life is maybe on that plate. And our chief concerns become sidetracked. I know how it is too. I've often found myself, when I had the opportunity to sit in the pew, sometimes more concerned about the lunch or the afternoon activities than the bread of life right before me. That I even started to become upset about worship running maybe 15 minutes over. How does this happen? How does one with the very bread of life being served before us get so distracted and so concerned about ordinary things that we lose sight? And don't get me wrong, things like friendship and fellowship and fun is a good thing for a Christian church, and Christian love and companionship is a blessing. But if that becomes the only end-all and the top of the list, we start to miss out on why and what we should be craving the most when we gather in the name of our God. And what about our personal time? I know how that goes too, right? We're so thankful to God, right, for that late night snack, but maybe not so quick to take in the bread of life during that personal time because we're tired. We find ourselves sometimes putting ordinary blessings, ordinary gifts, is the most important thing. And we make the least important things into the most important. Jesus says to the crowd, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures. Really, all those things, food, entertainment, lunch, friendship, whatever the comforts might be that we crave, they're really nothing without the bread of life. They are food that spoils. And we recognize this, how we must work for that food. Just as Adam, by the sweat of his brow, had to work for that food, we work for the things we crave. And we try hard to find a comfortable life and chase after things. And we say, God, please more. And we want more of those comforts. But those things won't last. There's Adam, our forefather. He's in the Garden of Eden, and he has all the trees and all the food are his, save one. And still he must say, Lord, I want one more. Never satisfied. And because of that, like Adam, all of us will never be satisfied with this fallen Eden and our fallen hearts, always craving more. And it will spoil in the end. That same decree that held true for Adam is true for us. Dust you are, to dust you will return. So it doesn't matter how many preservatives, how wonderful the food is that we take in, how much exercise we give our bodies. In the end, it spoils. And the only thing that will remain for us, and even that for only a time, will be a small marker with our name. And then a date when we were born, and just a little dash, that's your life, that little dash, and then your name, and then a date that you died. Everything spoils. And in the end, even that will not last. We need more than ordinary blessing. We need more than ordinary food. That's what Jesus directs his disciples to see. Food that endures to eternal life. He says, which the Son of Man will give you. This gift that we need is given to us by God, a lasting and enduring food. It's not something we work for. He says, the Son of Man will give it to you. And notice the phrase he says, only on him the Father has placed his seal of approval. We buy food that has, you know, either it's certified organic or the special non-GMO or just the favorite company label. Well, the bread of life, Jesus, has the Father's stamp of approval, saying this is bread that will endure. The guaranteed best by date never runs out. He is the one from whom you find lasting and blessings that never end. Jesus has the approval of the Father who raised him from the death. Jesus will never perish, and the gift he gives us is everlasting, never spoils. The crowd, however, that day, they were still looking for ordinary food. They said, what must we do to do the work God requires? Jesus once again must redirect them. Not work you do. He says the work of God is that you believe. We don't work for this bread. We simply trust in the bread of life, and we receive a lasting gift. The crowd still, now demanding a sign, says, what sign can you give us that we might see and believe you? You're claiming to give us a bread that lasts, bread that endures forever? Prove it, Jesus. Almost like they're fish in the tank saying, let me see that hand up there before I swim all the way up there, because I don't think it's going to be worth the effort. Show me, Jesus. Jesus speaks and points them to where they need to find that bread. He says, I tell you the truth, not Moses who's given you bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. They're looking for ordinary food yet. He says, the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The bread of heaven is found in a person. It's the one who came down, enjoying the eternal pleasures at God's right hand, and came down to this world to bring life. The bread of heaven is Jesus himself, who came from the Father's side, the very Son of God. And that bread of life, when he walked this earth, unlike us, never craved simply ordinary things and put aside the true bread, but said, man does not live on bread alone. And Jesus, the bread of life, came to give us just what we needed for life. This world, so lost in sin, doomed to die, did not treasure Jesus as a gift, did not see the real value in him. In fact, when the soldiers were crucifying him, the only thing they found of value was the garment that he was wearing. But Jesus, the living bread, came down from heaven to suffer on the cross for his people, to give them the gift of life, so that his perfect life, his perfect desiring always the Father's will, would be our life, and that the suffering, the death that we deserved would be taken off of us, and we would have the gift that the Son gives us, food which endures to eternal life, the good news of forgiveness. The crowd still didn't understand. It was all centered on Jesus, the person. But they still thought about ordinary food and said, sir, give us this food. Jesus makes it clear, I am the bread of life. Everything centers on Jesus. All the other things that we chase after, the things that we crave, are nothing without him and what he gives us as a gift. And trusting in him, we have a bread source of life that will never perish, never spoil, but will last forever. So when we begin to lose sight of what really matters, and we crave the things of this world, we need to redirect ourselves, as Jesus redirects his disciples, to look for what he gives us, and to focus our attention and our time on the bread of life, rather than working for the bread that spoils. And when someone around us is so concerned about just receiving bus money, we get the chance to point them to more than that, but the God who will give them a free pass to a city whose foundations will never be shaken. And when we get so concerned and wrapped up about worship running 15 minutes too long, we redirect our attention and time to recognize God has given us all of eternity and time. And then when that late night snack comes, we're not just so concerned about filling our stomachs, but craving the bread of life, we realize that when our last night comes, we will stand with Jesus and not perish. And whatever it may be, whatever the circumstance, we direct our attention to the bread of life, Jesus, our source of life. And remember, when you see that young child and they're sitting in church, and it seems like they're just sitting still because mom or dad is going to give them a special treat afterwards, remember, they're also receiving with Jesus the bread of life, which never spoils. Amen.
For more messages like this, visit rockofages-payson.com or wells.net.